Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you and welcome to Straight Talk. Straight Talk is the radio talk show made for men by men. And ladies, I promise you wouldn't want to miss it. I'm Ted Santos. I always fly with the co-pilot, Blair Nash. Blair, let him know you're in the house.
What's up, Teddy? How you feeling?
Hey, I'm groovy, man.
Cool. You've been working on your tan a little bit today?
Not really. But yesterday had a good bit of sunshine. So, yeah, life is good here in New Jersey.
What's the weather like?
We've been like 80s, 90s, that kind of. Mid-80s to
okay.
90s. So,
it's just
rain
brutal
a few minutes
here.
And go away. Say that again?
I said it's just brutal everywhere because it's about that here as well. I was outside earlier today doing yard work and, you know, feeling like a field hand out there and everything, you know, just doing chopping down trees and everything. So, you know, in that hot A sun. But, you know,
hey, man,
that's what it
I
is.
Tell you, 80 degrees. Hey, for me, 80 degrees, I'm just taking off my jacket. That's just getting me into warm weather. I'm cruising at 95, though. That's good weather. Come on, my body's 98.7 degrees. Come on, now, what's 98 degrees outside?
So tell me, I mean, we talk about your eating habits, and I know you do the lentil thing. So how does, I don't know if it's a vegan or vegetarian, what do you drink to kind of keep yourself cool? Is there any particular things you don't drink, or, I mean, do you just like, I just stay with the water and that's it? You know,
I basically drink water. You know, I drink water. That's it.
All right, so you're not a beer.
Not that I never drink any. Say that again.
I said you're not a beer or like, you know, you don't drink like, you know, margaritas or nothing.
So I wow, now you're taking us down. Actually, that's a perfect segue for tonight's topic. So I only drink alcohol on special occasion. And I only have one special occasion in my life. And, wow, I'm getting ready to make this public. So my only special occasion is I'm at home with my woman or we're at her place and we'll drink. And I know we're going to have sex after we drink. That is the only reason I'm drinking. And if you ask me, what do I drink? What do I drink? Whatever she likes. Doesn't matter to me. That's what I'm drinking.
Let me go get the rubbing alcohol and rip my ears out and all that nasty. Lord, I didn't think you were going to go there and say it. I thought you were going to say, you know, something. I thought you were going to go in a different lane, but that's okay.
I said it's a perfect segue for tonight's topic. Because we're talking about sex tonight, so
let's talk about sex. Absolutely.
That was perfect.
So let's get into the topic. So this is this is something that you have come up with, and so tell the people kind of what your thought process was with this.
So I see a lot in the Facebook group for Straight Talk. I've been seeing a lot of conversations about sex and. I mentioned one of the articles that someone posted in there about 80% of women cannot climax, and I think people don't really understand that sex is so intertwined in every aspect of our life, and your attitude towards sex makes all the difference, not just for sex. It makes a difference for a lot of things. So tonight we're going to have to put together several pieces of a puzzle. One piece will relate to the conversation we had last week where we talked about killing trust. And that was so counterintuitive because even though I said kill trust and leave it out, because when you kill trust, but when you depend on trust, you have to factor in that mistrust is a companion of trust. So once you depend on trust, you have to account for, at some point, mistrust is going to enter your relationship. However, if you kill trust, mistrust dies along with trust. And even though I said that, and to me it was clear, people still kept saying, okay, so once you kill trust and keep your word, then you can trust the person. No, you kill trust, and the only thing you have left is your word. So I'm saying that when you get that, you create a relationship that is built on your word. Like when you honor your word mm-hmm. yourself, if you say I'm going to do this, you do it. If you say I'm not going to do it, you say I'm going to be here at a certain time. And if something happens, your word is, and your responsibility is to communicate with that person and let them know. So that becomes a foundation. Like that's really about integrity, honoring your word as yourself. And when you start to see that your word is so powerful that when you and your significant other kill trust and you know I'm with the person, if he or she says they're going to do it, it's done. I don't even have to think whether I trust them or not. That relationship is powerful. And what you really begin to realize is that your word has so much power. So if we relate that to sex, whatever you say to yourself or others about sex, your word is going to have power in that also. If you believe that, well, I'm the prize and, you know, I don't have to do anything and you should want to have sex with me, like that, you're going to create an experience like that, right? If you believe sex is some obligation to your spouse, if you believe that I'll have sex with you as a favor, like that's a different kind of sex. Maybe it's out of porn. I don't know, because I don't see porn as really being sex. It's just entertainment. So what I'm getting at is your word and your thoughts, because your thoughts are just made up of your word. Now, if you look at – you ever watch Indianapolis 500 races, Blair?
I've watched races. I mean, I don't know whether it's NASCAR and everything. I actually went to a NASCAR race when I was a kid. But yes, I have. Yes.
Okay, so if you look at like the Indianapolis 500, if you watch carefully, you'll see something emerge as the race goes on. You'll see about three different packs. You're gonna have the people in the back, and this is now I'm going to relate this to your word and your mindset, because your mindset is made up of your words, the words you use. And you'll have people in the back of the pack who their words may sound like, I'm so happy I qualified for the race. I'm just happy to be here. Right? That's the back pack. The middle pack, you know, man, I made it. I hope I don't get in an accident. You know, I hope I can take this race and, you know, and ride it through and do well. The guys in the front, well, now you have to say women too, because there are a couple of women out there kicking butt in NASCAR. But the people who are in the front pack, they have a conversation. Their word with themselves and their crew, their team, is very different from those other two packs. In fact, their word may be like in the zone, and I'm gonna, before I really dive into sex, boy, pun intended, I want to talk about mindset, me as an athlete, so I can relate to those guys in the front of the pack of NASCAR. They are thinking about, there's an intention they have that's so clear that they're not happy to be there, they're not worried about an accident, their only focus is their intention. So I know when I played football, man, you know, you're out there at the game, there are thousands of people there, and when I'm on defense chasing someone down, I literally can't hear the band, I can't hear the people cheering, I can't hear my teammates, I literally could hear nothing. All I knew, I couldn't even hear the wind blowing through my ear. All I knew was my intention to get that person, tackle him and take him down. For me, that's how sex is, at least good sex occurs that way. Like, you're in this zone and nothing matters. And that's okay. really kind of like the word you bring to a sexual relationship. And I want to now relate that to building community, nation building, families, having great sexual experiences. Before I go down there, let's like sort of take this in steps. So let's take a first caller and see if we can bring in. And also some feedback from you too, your thoughts on what I'm saying. I'm building a case. Let's say we're building a foundation for building.
Right, right. Call number is 323-642-1387, 323-642-1387. We are going to go to area code 708. 708, you're live and on the air. Okay. All right. 708, probably listening. Okay, cool. So, and this is going to be kind of one of those shows. This show and last week's show is going to be a show that I am actually going to be kind of learning as well. So I'm really just kind of going to sit back and really just kind of absorb and listen because you're teaching me right now. You know, I mean, I'm the dating expert. I that's what I do. But when you're talking about sex and kind of how it how sex metastasizes into other parts of your into how it's how it kind of spawns into growth and wealth building and everything, this is very interesting to me. So I'm really just kind of sitting back this time and everything. Of course I'm gonna have some thoughts and everything, but I'm really just learning. So you got the wheel, brother.
I still have the wheel. Okay, all right. So what I just said is me being an athlete and chasing someone on the football field. I'm not thinking about, can I catch this guy? And I remember these days clear as a bell. I'm not thinking, can I catch him? How fast? I'm just on that guy like a cheetah going after a gazelle. And during sex, your attitude is going to be made up of your words, sort of like the NASCAR racers. You know, maybe you engage in sex and you're just happy to be there, and I'm just going to kind of go with the flow. And if you have a man and woman who are just going with the flow, it may not be such a good experience for either one of them because they're both waiting to see what's going to happen. So nothing happens as a result. And then you have sort of the middle of the pack, you're hoping to make all the right moves. I hope I don't do anything wrong. You know, don't want to make a disaster out of this. And then you have that man and woman who are just really good lovers, and they don't have to think about any of that stuff. And they come together and they have an extraordinary sexual experience. There's no judgment. They're, lots of things can happen, but there's a real intention behind it. So I want to hold that because I'm talking about how important your word is, right? Your mindset, the conversations you have with yourself. Now I want to talk about something. I'm going to throw in another scientific thing. Blair, back in the day, you used to put up Friday fun facts, and I'll never forget one of the things you put up. And it said couples who have sex four times a week or more earn higher incomes and have happier marriages, happier relationships. I never forgot that. There has been for a long time a lot of informal research around people with high sex drives and success. It doesn't mean everyone with a high success sex drive is going to be successful, but there have just been a lot of correlations between highly sex creative individuals. You look at Alexander the Great, Genghis Khan. You look at all these people who just had a big sex drive, and they became titans of their time. You know, Henry Ford, Rockefeller. We can just go down the list. So there's something about sex that contributes to people and their well-being, and not having to always be begging and fighting for your spouse's affection and sexual lovemaking frees
mm-hmm.
a man up to go out and really knock the ball out the park. And I would say for a woman too, because Cleopatra was known for having a lot of sexual partners in one day. In fact, they said that she would sometimes take on 100 guys just to stack them up one in a row and give them some kind of enhancement to make them better lovers. So, but now I want to add something else. So there's I put up a few of videos by a woman, Dr. Jewel Pookrum. She is a licensed gynecologist. She did that practice for a very long time and then started questioning whether hysterectomies on black women were appropriate. You know, she noticed that there were more for black women than other races. So, and she at some point had lung cancer, and she was able to remove lung cancer without using chemo or any other what you call westernized medicine. She went on this path of looking at what you call the natives and aboriginals here in the U.S., Asian, Chinese medicine. She looked at a lot of different things, and she was able to take cancer out of her body.
Mm-hmm.
And now she was like, you could say, hooked. She was a believer in this non-traditional healing. And so that put her on always on the cutting edge of learning new stuff. And several years ago, I heard her say that for the first time, they had learned that human beings have the capacity to alter their own DNA. And that was believed before that your DNA was fixed. Like, there's nothing you can do about it.
Always,
and now, I'm looking at an article right here in MarketWatch. It's dated April 11th, 2019, and it says the effects of being poor can literally alter the human gene, study found. And this is from Northwestern University, so talking about definitely a top-ranked university. So, so what they're finding
Never
is that the words you say to yourself, your conversations with yourself and others, and not just about sex, about anything, the words, your belief systems, and your environment. So if you're in an impoverished environment, that's going to foster certain kinds of thoughts and belief systems and certain kind of foods that you may eat that wealthier people that may not eat. You may not have access to the best foods. So they're saying all these things, environment, thought, can alter your DNA.
Right.
So as an adult human being, you can literally alter your very own DNA. Now, if we relate this to sex, if we look at how people have attitudes towards sex, they have negative attitudes. And I'll tell you, unfortunately, there are lots of people who have been raped and molested, and that will probably, in a lot of cases, give them a negative attitude either. They overdo it, or they don't like having sex. But in either way, if they do it too much, being raped and molested can make a woman or a man feel like they're dirty and not really have value for sex. And as a result, their attitude towards sex isn't healthy. So you have to think if as a human you can alter your own DNA. When a man and woman come together, if one or both have a negative attitude towards sex, that's going to impact the embryo and how the DNA of the embryo comes together. If you add to that, if you dislike your spouse, you feel resentful towards your spouse, you are manipulating your spouse. So this still goes back to honoring your word. If it's like, I'm just going to let him have something and get it over with so I don't have to be bothered by him anymore.
Absolutely.
Your child, when a woman conceives with that attitude, that child is, that mindset is going to be infused into their DNA, and it's going to affect them. And so when you start building children out of that, especially when you talk about a battle of the sexes, you're now negatively impacting generations of children. And when you talk about wealth building, you're now working completely against the intention to build wealth by building children who have negative attitudes infused into them, hatred, disdain.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. I mean, it makes all the sense in the world because, I mean, you talk to people and, you know, if anyone's been around someone who has been carrying a child, and, you know, if you know anything about, like, just all the things that, you know, can affect a child, like if you play soothing music or if, you know, a mother may kind of, you know, rub the child's head in her womb or whatever, all those things, you know, kind of have a, and I don't want to get too deep, but kind of have a metaphysical effect on the child. So, you know, by proxy, you would also think that, you know, not only the person that you have sex with, but how you have sex and all those other things, you know, have an advantage to them, can have an advantage or disadvantage to you as well. So let me do this.
I didn't even touch that. The choice of the person, exactly. Yeah, the choice of the person, that's going to have a huge impact. But sorry, David, right. Let's see if we can get some feedback from others.
Okay. Call in numbers 323-642-1387, 323-642-1387. Our topic tonight is sex, the most important part of a love relationship. We are going to go to area code 901. 901, you're live and on the air.
What's going on, guys? This is Robert. How you doing?
Hey, Robert. What's going on this evening? How are you?
Hey, Robert.
What's going on, brothers? How
are you
doing?
Where you calling from, Robert?
Memphis 10, Memphis, Tennessee.
Memphis 10, Memphis. Memphis. What's going on?
I made a post on Facebook about that. Like I was telling the ladies, you're worried about the size of the D, but you need to be careful about the DNA that's running through that man's spirit. Just like y'all was talking, you know, a lot of times, you know, whatever is in that spirit of that man will be transferred into you, will be transferred into the womb of that child. You know, it ain't just an old saying when they say you just like your dad or you just like your mama. In other words, take on your spirit is within your seed, within your egg, within your cells. You know, we break it, like you said, don't want to get too deep, but that's what that is. When you see, a lot of times as men and as women, we need to be careful about who we share ourselves with, because a lot of times you can share yourself with somebody that is low self-esteem. They don't have any belief in themselves. That's in their system. And once you intertwine with them sexually, that becomes an effect on you. You know what I'm saying? Your self-esteem may lower. It doesn't say it will, but it's a good chance it will lower because you're trying to fight with them to raise their self-esteem. And while you're doing it, it is draining you of your spirit. You know what I'm saying? But go ahead, guys. I'm coming in kind of late, but go ahead.
Okay, cool. Very good, very good thoughts. I want to get to another caller that's been holding for quite some time. We're going to go to area code 844, and stay on the line, Robert, please. 844.
Okay.
You are live and on the air.
Yes. Good afternoon. This is Abdul. How y'all doing, fellas?
All right.
Doing excellent.
Thanks for calling.
Okay.
Abdul, where are you calling from, please?
I'm calling from Newark, New Jersey, and I'm want to say that the subject of sex being important or the most important thing in a relationship, I've come to find out because I heard I was listening in, and some things about molestation can actually alter a person's core beliefs on what sex is. And in a situation like myself, where I went into older women, you know, sought favor into me, they changed my outlook on what sex was. And I became a little more possessive and had a mm-hmm. or more appetite for sex than I normally would before I was exposed to these things. Now I'm older mm-hmm. and I'm grown, and it's like now I'm like, how did I end up this way? Not blaming them, but I'm blaming myself for allowing them to feed off of my DNA and, you know, make me feel less than what I am. But, I mean, then I look to them for sex because they came to me for a feel-good when they were depressed and they were down and out and their self-esteem was low because naturally I was conceited. But, I mean, I had a I was an athlete, so they looked up to me. So for them reasons is why they chose to seduce me. This is what I rationalized within myself. Like, why did they do it? What did I have wrong for myself? I'm not a millionaire. Like, these old-ass women, like, why would they see in a 16-year-old? But I'm looking at the positive qualities that I possess.
Well, actually, you're bringing up a good point, Abdul, because so you were a minor and these women were adults, right?
Yes.
So, yeah, see, that now offers your whole outlook on sex. And if you were a woman calling in, we'd probably have the lines lit up and women would be saying what man did that and, you know, he should be crucified. But we kind of don't say that about a boy, yet we don't really understand the impact. And I think you're accentuating that it negatively impacted you. And as you matured, you could see the difference. It created an attitude you had towards sex, not just towards sex, towards women. Is that what you're saying? Like not the healthiest
an embedded anger.
Women? Right.
It embedded anger and hostility towards women. It gave me entitlement issues, feeling though if I see a female and I push up on her, hey, how you doing, what's your name, where you from, what you want to do, I offer this date to you and I spend time with you, immediately I'm expecting sex because of her beauty, her virtues or whatever she possessed. And all in all, like, my self-esteem is like being drained from me because this is what she's looking for. She's looking for, do I have good self-esteem? Am I clean and everything like that? And the guy was saying, like, be careful what's in the DNA and everything like that. But it's like, you know, they did all that to me. Now where do I stand? You know, I feel like, you know, I met a vampire and they just sucked the life out of me. You know what I mean? I'm refining myself and redeveloping myself. And, you know, I turned to Islam for help. So it's been a struggle.
Right. Except your DNA yourself, you know, the environment you're in, how older women are engaging you as a minor, is altering your very own DNA and these conversations that you're having with yourself. Now, if you would impregnate a woman, that DNA, like your conversations with yourself is going to be infused in that. It's going to alter that child's DNA. And it's what I was, one of the things I put up in Facebook is sex the most important thing for nation building? Now, if you're looking to build a nation and you're taking advantage of the minors in your society and not really caring for them, you're exploiting them and not making sure they're emotionally taken care of. So as you said, Abdul, you ended up with resentment and anger and entitlement. And none of those things are healthy for building a powerful nation. So, what I'm getting at is, if you want a community, Blair, a couple of weeks ago we talked about, you know, how important building community is. It's hard to build a community with people someone's got too much noise. Abdul, is that you? I think, can you put it on?
Yes, it is. I'm covering the phone now. It's my background. It's my surroundings.
All right, cool. Thanks. It's hard to build a powerful community if you are infusing into your offspring less than powerful DNA beliefs, conversations, however you want to label that. Robert, I know you have some thoughts about that.
Yeah, what I would tell the brother, you know, he said he's trying to find his way back, is that the first thing, you done took the first step. You realized when you were a minor, you were taken advantage of. And as a man, you have to understand, or just as a people, male or female, we have to understand sex is just an act. That's all that is. You must, to understand what sex is, for the sex to be, for you to become a better person, you must get into intimacy. And a lot of us take intimacy as sex, and that's not what that is. It is the mental connection between the two people that's intimacy. Now, how you can recover is that you understand that sex is only there, the sex that you experienced was only for self-gratification, for those women, for you. Now, later on down the line, since that messed up your spirit, you started to go out when you meet a woman. The only reason why you was having a conversation with that woman is to have the act of sex, not to get to know that woman, not to become intimate with that woman, knowing the spirit of that woman.
Excuse me, may I interject? It gets a little deeper than that because, you know, as I got older, I looked to, impregnate and, and have a seed with these women, and come to find out they looked at me different once they were pregnant, and they disowned me. They abandoned me, so that gave me abandonment issues of my youth and remind me of when I was a child when my mother abandoned me. Here, my own baby mother is abandoning me because I feel as though she's received the bait of, you know, the egg, and she's satisfied, and that's what she needed, and now fuck me, bottom line, you know what I mean? But it's bigger than what it seems.
Well, what you have to deal with as a man, like you said, that abandonment issue, that's something that you need to, now, us as men, we're talking, this maybe can help you. But I would also, are you going through any kind of therapy right now? Are you going to any kind of, are you receiving any kind of counseling about this issue?
Well, right now I'm in counseling. Where I'm at, I'm standing in a facility in New Jersey, Avondale, New Jersey, for counseling for sex offenders. And that's what I was getting at. I actually got to the point where my appetite got so strong for sex and women, I actually disrespected a woman once or twice in my life. And I was I pled guilty or whatever. They gave me probation. I violated probation. Now they put me in a further extended therapeutic community where we talk about our life and how we went wrong and our appetites and the things that contribute to us acting out sexually. And this is what they're telling me. I haven't gotten to my personal victimization yet because they don't want me to use it as a crutch. And I'm looking at that. That's the core of how that appetite got so strong when she said, no, I didn't hear it.
Okay.
Because I was looking for satisfaction, gratitude.
Go ahead,
Beth. Again?
No, I thought somebody was finna say something. No, but I'm glad you are in therapy and this, that, and another. And one of the things, like we said, they don't want you to use that as a crutch. But sometimes that is, you're working toward that core issue. Did you ever have any kind of male role models in your life? How was the relationship between you and your mother?
Me and my brother or my mother?
Your mother.
My mother, we had a distant relationship. I didn't meet my mother until I was about maybe 5 years old. Then she passed away when I was about maybe 11. So I didn't have a thorough, intimate relationship with my mother. I had a foster mother. I had a legal guardian, which was my grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
And I was still too young to actually develop that. Well, it was an intimate relationship with my grandmother. But, you know, I was so young and out of touch with life that I didn't see what was before me.
Because I was still a child.
I was still a child before I could know the value of a relationship.
Okay. Let me ask you a question. Do you ever get those urges again sexually? On the physical aspect, do you still have those urges? Are there techniques that they are teaching you how to curb those urges? Do you still have those urges in your life?
Well, they want to know about everything, pretty much. They want you wide open. They want to know what's your practices, your masturbation practice, since there's no women here, there's no conjugal visits or anything. They want to know about that. What are you thinking about? What are your thoughts? What are your feelings? What are your behaviors? And they want you to be in tune with your cycle, because everything to them, they believe that is a cycle. So in my cycle, you know, it's like, okay, if I get angry because I had an argument and I didn't get my way, okay, I want to seek sex from my partner, whatever. I go home with an attitude, and I want to take that out on her. You know what I mean? So those are the significant
Well, one of the things you're going to have to understand. Go ahead, brother.
Robert, hold on just a minute. I want to bring another caller into the conversation. Then I want to kick over to Ted for a second. We're going to go to area code 786. 786, you're live and on the air with Straight Talk.
Hi, Blair. This is Monica McCoy. How are you?
Monica McCoy, how are you, ma'am?
Hey, Monica.
All right, I'm good. And you guys? Hey, how are you doing? What's going on, Ted?
Hey, Monica. How's it going this evening? Thanks for calling.
Sure. I'm doing all right.
Yeah, our topic tonight
is
sex, the most important part of a love relationship. Ted's been kind of breaking down a lot of, kind of talking over my head, for lack of a better term. What are your thoughts on that?
Can you brief me on it a bit, Blair? Because I literally just got on the call 3 minutes ago.
Sure. Ted, you're going to have to brief her.
Yeah.
You know, I'll be mumbling, so you brief her, sir.
So what I was really getting at is I don't know if you heard. Did you hear our show last week when we talked about killing trust?
I did not.
No. Okay. So we talked about how if you kill trust, if you depend on trust, first you're depending on something outside of yourself. Second is trust never travels alone. So if you kill trust, you have to kill its traveling partner, which is mistrust. And all you're left with is your word. So what we're really getting at is how important your word is. And whatever your word is to yourself about anything, whether being on time, whether expressing affection, whether you're expressing affection to someone to manipulate or it's authentic, your word is really your bond. So your words and your attitude are one. So if your attitude towards sex is negative, it can negatively impact your experience of sex. And then we talked about how they have found out that human beings can alter their DNA. So and environment can alter it. So if you grow up in a poverty-stricken environment, they're finding how the poverty environment it altered DNA, not just food. It's once again people's word, their word to themselves, their conversations, their beliefs, their attitudes. So what we're getting at really is if you look at sex as being one of the most instrumental tools or aspects of nation building, and not sex in the sense of, well, we're going to create next generation. What kind of next generation are you going to create? Because all your beliefs and your conversations are going to impact your DNA, and once that man and woman comes together to make a child, an embryo, that child is made up of the DNA of the two people, and you're going to alter that DNA. If you engage in sex because you don't like your significant other, you hate them, you're just with them for the kids, all these things that can have an impact on your DNA and the creation of the next generation. So it becomes very difficult to create a powerful next generation that can build a nation because they're being built out of a foundation of negative attitudes and negative beliefs, you know, playing victim, all those things. So what I'm getting at is sex is so important in so many different ways, and even the choice of the spouse. You know, if you're a guy just choosing a woman because she's got a nice behind and you know a nice tits and nothing else, and she's low self-esteem, that's going to be in your children. And same with a woman and her choice of a man. So that's sort of a nutshell of what we're talking about.
Wow, that's a lot.
That's what I said, Monica.
It's a lot. You know, it reminds me of a video I saw on Facebook. It was by an older black woman where she was giving some advice for maybe her grandchild or somebody. Basically, she was saying, hey, before you lay down and have sex with this man, find out about find out about his family history. Does he have, you know, schizophrenia in his background? Find out about his health history, you know. Does he have whatever, hypertension? Does he have these mental, emotional, physical problems? Find out before you make children with them. this man in it. I personally don't have any children. I've heard from people who do have kids, both men and women. You know, they love their babies. Man, if I really would have, like, known this about him, I would have never made kids with him. Man, if I would have known that about her, I would have, you know, had someone else be the mother of my children. Yeah, like you made the point that, you know, you can't just select a woman on the side of her behind. It's got to be more than that for both parties, men and women. Yeah, we have to take a lot of stuff into consideration when we select a mate for our children. But just as far as having sex with just the pleasure of it, I mean, that's important too. But, yeah, a person's attitude definitely is going to affect the way they feel about anything in life. If you have a negative perception about anything, it can almost become a fear of whatever it is. So
right.
If you have a negative perception about flying in an airplane, you're probably not going to want to get on a plane.
Right, and so what we were just talking with one of the callers is, you know, he was a minor having sex with adult women who, you know, who exploited him, and that created a sense of entitlement and a negative attitude towards women. It had, but when you bring that kind of negative attitude, even though it gave him a large sex drive, and maybe for women who were exploited by men, maybe they have a small sex drive and they hate sex and they do it and they like to experience pleasure, except they really don't know how because it's negative, yet they still conceive a child with a negative attitude towards sex. And that's probably not the best environment to birth a child, to conceive a child. And so what I'm, you know, if we want to talk about building community and next generation, you're just going to weaken each generation. You know, Blair and I were talking about how someone put up something about how 16 men have over like 330 children. That's outrageous.
Wow.
So what kind of, and if poverty can alter your DNA, all you're doing is weakening an entire community, and it's not like it's happening with 5 million men. You could be 100,000 men who have, you know, 75% of the population in the community.
Right.
Say that again. You said some noise in the background. I couldn't understand what you said at the end of your last sentence.
What I'm saying is that if you can have 16 men to make 335 children, that you can actually, and these men don't care about taking care of their children. They just can't economically. They've got 10 kids with all these women, 15 with a bunch, you know, 30 with a bunch of other women. That's going to create most likely a poverty situation, and that just weakens the community. Now, imagine when you magnify that, you could have 100,000 men who fathered 75% of the community. That you follow me? Abdul, I think that you had some background noise. Yes, someone did.
Actually, Abdul, he's not on the line.
He dropped off? Okay.
Yeah.
Right. So, Monica, did you hear what I said, or it's still too noisy?
I got most of what you said. There is some noise in the background, but I got most of what you said. When I hear stuff like this, and I know it's easier said than done, but I just really wish people would stop and think about who they choose to make their children with, both men and women. I mean, children should be more than an emotional desire. It's natural to want to, you know, have a legacy, but a lot of times people just have kids because that's what society tells them to do, or they try to keep a man or a woman in their life. And I don't know, that's what people would think before they bring children into the world. Like, I just really do. I think that's a big problem in our community. They don't think.
Well, that's what I'm really getting at. So if you take into account your own attitude towards sex, your own attitude towards the opposite sex, and you start looking at the choice of a spouse, your criteria becomes about, can I build with this person?
not whether or not, well, he got five other women pregnant, so, you know, the dick must be good, so I'm going to try it,
no,
too.
No, he can get up out of my face. Mm-mm, honey.
What, no, you know what I'm talking about. You still know what I'm talking
yes,
about,
I
right?
Yes, I do.
Right. So, well, but that, now you have children. Now you have children in the picture, and they are born into an environment that's not most productive. What I'm getting at is, you really do want to nation build. You're going to have to create a criteria for a person you can build with.
Yeah. You're right.
And you're going to have to be responsible for what you bring to the relationship, your attitude, your thoughts, all that. Sorry, Blair, what were you going to say?
No, I was actually going to try to bring Robert back into the conversation and get his thoughts.
Okay.
What's up, Blair? Well, just what you just said, the sister, when she was talking, was saying that you have to be more selective. One of the things that we got to understand is that, you know, for some people, sex has become a punishment due to, like the young brother was saying, it by molestation and this, that, and another. And some people have gotten to the point that that's their only value. Like y'all were just, you said that you and Blair was talking about, here in my state, it's a guy in Knox County, Tennessee, in Knoxville, Tennessee. He holds the national record. Now he has impregnated 16 women and he has 33 children. That he holds the national record here in the state of Tennessee. You know, he's the one that, I mean, over the nature, I mean, completely. So what has happened when they had a conversation, when they interviewed him, a lot of the things that the brother was talking about that was on earlier, and also what the sister is saying, a lot of times people get to the place in their lives where sex becomes a punishment. It is, they are degrading their bodies. And this guy here in Tennessee, he was saying the same thing, talking about abandonment issues and this, that, and another. One of the things we got to understand, we cannot save everybody. You know, a lot of times we believe we ignore red flags. You know, we think about the bad boy syndrome. You know, like I said, a lot of ladies get into the bad boy. Well, when we talk about the bad boy, they try to romanticize it. But the bad boy is the bad boy. This is the man that has a criminal mindset. This is the individual that does not care about himself. He doesn't care. He doesn't care if he lives or dies. So how is it that he is sexy? This is something that you want to get with because he has an edge to him. Most of the time when you hear ladies say, I'm into the bad boy, you're going to hear some horror stories. You're going to see where children have been abandoned, where she's been abandoned. So a lot of times, again, we have to get away from the sexual thing, the sex act. We have to get into the intimacy, the mental connection between you and that person. And when you talk about building with somebody, you got to be able to hear that conversation, hear what they're saying. If you're with somebody, male or female, just talking about life really doesn't matter. It you know, I don't have an opinion. This is I'm not into that. That should let you know you can't build with that person because that person is empty. They have no opinion. They have no drive about themselves. They just waking up and breathing. That's all they're doing. And a lot of times with ladies, that's what happens a lot of times. Like you said with these children, a lot of times when you bring children up in a non-nurturing environment, in other words, where the mother is angry because the father ain't hitting on nothing, so she has that inner spirit, and that's where the child is developing. That's why when you see a lot of times these children come out, they are nervous, they are fidgety because of the anger, the frustration that the mother feels, and then also the environment. Go ahead, Blair, or Ted.
All right, well, at the beginning of the show, I was talking about, I asked Blair if he had ever watched NASCAR. And if you watch a NASCAR, any Indianapolis 500 race, you'll usually see after the race goes for a little bit, you watch about three different packs form. And I was saying the people in the back pack, the furthest behind, those people are having conversations with themselves that may go something like, hey, I'm happy I qualified. You know, I'm happy I made it here in the race. Just glad to be here. And the guys in the middle may be saying, well, I made it.
I hope I do my best and I don't get in an accident. And then the guys in the front, or women in the front too, they're having a whole different conversation with themselves and their team that's unlike the other people in the back. And they may just be, right, they are racing with their intentions. So if a couple, as you're saying, Robert, if you listen to someone's conversation, they're going to tell you what kind of person
mm-hmm.
they are. You know, just
yes.
like the same thing exists for athletes. You know, the athlete says, I'm just happy to make the team. And then you have someone in high school like LeBron who said he's out there that ready to dominate the court. He's in a whole different
right.
– he's not happy to make the team. He knows he's going to crush everyone out there because he trained
mm-hmm.
for that. So when
right.
you meet someone, this is what I was saying. Like, everyone honors themselves at their word, whether they keep their word or they don't. If you just listen to the words a person uses, they will tell you everything about themselves.
Yes, sir.
The problem is, if you haven't done the work for yourself, you may not be able to recognize it, or you will only recognize the language that's similar to yours that makes you uncomfortable. And so this now makes it more critical why people actually have to do the work of self-development. And I'm not just saying read a book or go somewhere in the woods and self-reflect, and I'm all for either one of those. But people need tools to get out of where we are. Otherwise, they would have done it already. It's like the way we operate, our thoughts are given to us. When you learn your first language, whether it's English or Portuguese or Pukenese, whatever meanings existed for the words, that was given to you. And if you grow up in an environment where everything is impossible and hopeless, that's going to be the conversation you have. It's like what you're saying, Robert. And then when you come together to make a baby with someone, that baby is made with that. It's infused into their DNA. It all.
Mm-hmm. It's in the DNA, because and like I say, it's just like a disease or something like that. It's dormant. A lot of times it's there. Then once the child is here in the world and it hears the voice of the mother, it hears the voice of the father, whoever the one is more dysfunctional, they hear it, that triggers it. You know, if mama, like I tell women all the time, if mama has an attitude and a problem with men, that's going to carry over to the daughter. Because if the father has an attitude or a problem with women, that's going to carry over into the son. We have to
right.
understand a lot of things that we're seeing today. Go ahead, brother.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. I was just going to say, really, that I actually mentioned that in my first book, that, you know, when you talk to a lot of women, when they say, well, you know, I don't really get along with, you know, pretty much with black men, but I love my daddy. And it's like, no, you need to address that. You know, or
mm-hmm.
even if she doesn't get along with her dad, that's a bad sign too.
Right.
You know, so you're absolutely right. Go right ahead.
Yeah, because that's one of the things. And like I said, a lot of times, even if they address that problem and they you know, like I said, they go back to their father or their like a son go back to his mother and address it, it still has to be some work done, because even then it is still there. You still have those issues with men that, you know, a lot of times you feel like men are not trustworthy, men are not dependable. Even though you said my father was dependable or you have reconciled with your father, these are issues that you're going to have to address. And I tell women this all the time. I'm not saying what you see out here now in the men today, it's coming from somewhere. It's coming a little bit out of the single homes, because it's the mindset that is being put into the young man's mind that's coming out here into the town. And that's why women are saying that these men are this. Well, we talk about our community, I think it's like 80-some percent of our community is single mothers or single female mothers in the home.
Right.
Well, the men that's coming out of these homes, you know what I'm saying, and going out into this world, it's coming out of the home.
Right.
So we have to learn how to address certain things. That's why it's extremely important for us to start addressing our issues that we may have. Like I said with that brother, he has abandonment issues. You know, for me, I understand the thing about victims, but a lot of times, yes, this man is a victim. It's not not that he's using victimization as a crutch. The reality is he is a victim. You know what I'm saying? He has been abused. You know what I'm saying? So when you turn around and say, well, stop being a victim, he can't stop being a victim because he is a victim. So what we have to do is we have to help this brother work through these issues because he's been victimized by older women, and him being victimized and molested by older women caused him to go out and do sexual battery. Now it's got him
in
trouble now. Yeah, go ahead.
And I was going to say, Ted, you spoke at nauseam about that, about a lot of black men who have been abused by older black women, where now the, you know, we always talk about the effect instead of looking at the cause. We never want to go to the root of what it is. We always want to say, oh,
yes,
that's why he's a trip, and that's why he's so good, instead of looking at how the root cause from that started. Well, the root cause was that he wasn't a molested child, he was an abused child himself, and he had things and a lot of stuff going on in his home life, which now the trickle-down effect of that is you have a less-than-subpar man that is now, you know, trying to, you know, act as a man. And so this is what, you know, to your point, Robert, this is why you see a lot of women frustrated, disappointed, disgusted with our men, you know, and disgusted with the things that a lot of our men are not doing. But then when we say, okay, but let's go back to the core. We got to go to the root of what's going on, not just the after effect. We got to go to the root of it.
Right.
Nobody wants to talk about the real cause of why men are behaving and why men aren't really together like they used to be.
And that's it. I agree with you totally on that. I mean, that's what I'm saying. We need to address those issues. We need to get to the root. And sometimes we have to understand that, it, just like with men, both men and women, if the root of the problem is the male, males don't become butt hurt because it's an issue we got to address. Women don't become butt hurt because it's an issue that you're going to have to address. We don't have to bring men in. We don't have to bring women in. We're talking about women. This is some issue that we need to address to correct what's going on in the community. You know, and that's one of the things that we do as far as, and I tell women this all the time. A lot of times when in the act of sex, if it seems violent, if it's rough, you need to have a conversation with the man. That has nothing to do with that. That's what it is. If it's violent, if it's rough, if it's a lot of throwing, a lot of grabbing, a lot of aggressiveness in it, that is something that's internal in that man. Because a sexual act doesn't supposed to be like that. That's what a lot of people don't understand.
But Robert, that's what a lot of the women like nowadays. They like, I want to choke me and pull my hair and everything.
Exactly.
It's like, that's what they like, though.
Don't talk mean.
The sister jumped in just there.
I said, don't talk mean.
I ain't trying to choke.
But see what I'm saying? But, you know, we understand what they said about that, but just like we said, just like the sister said, don't choke me. But a lot of times that's what that is. A lot of people won't address that, but, yeah, a lot of women like, because, again, you have used that as a mode of punishment, because a lot of times that's when you look at the promiscuous. You go to it's Monday, it's Wednesday, it's Saturday, then it's Monday again. You're overly sexual. You know, that ain't got nothing to do with I have a high sex drive. What that has to do with, there's a root of an issue where sex has become some sort of drug for you, some sort of punishment for you, because there's something there that you're not addressing. You know what I'm saying? And that's what that is. It's just like the old saying goes, some men got to be with a woman that brings in chaos. Because if you go back in his childhood, inside of his home with his mama, the noise, you had chaos, you had drama, this, that, another. So the woman he goes and get with is going to have drama, going to have chaos, going to have noise, because that's only the only thing that he's feel comfortable in. If he meets a woman that's extremely, that has herself together, that is calm, he's going to act out because he don't know. He, how do I handle this? She's speaking calmly. She's not calling me out of my name. She's not disrespecting me. I can't call her out of her name. I can't. I'm not doing. I can't deal with this. I got to go. Same with some women. Some women believe if a man is not disrespecting them, if that's not going to be a side chick, if that's not an outside baby, he ain't a real man. Some women actually believe that a man is going to naturally, you know, have an outside woman. Because within their life, if they go back and look at it, they have actually seen. That's all they done seen. They have seen outside kids. They done seen outside women. They done seen auntie, uncles, and mothers in the front yard fights.
We're talking about a lot of realms like boiling the ocean. Now we're trying to, but what we're really getting at is sex really is important. It can be the most important thing, aspect of a relationship. In fact, not for the obvious reason.
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Sex is the most important part of building a nation and a community. And what you put into the sex is what you're going to get out of it. It's like what they used to say with computers, garbage in, garbage out. So if you put garbage into conception, that's what you're going to have out of your children. But before we even go further down that, I want to offer something that's probably going to be extremely controversial, and I want to talk about victims.
Not on this
that
show.
Is, there's a lot of noise. There's a lot of noise. Am I missing something?
No, I just said not on this show. Controversial? Oh my Lord.
Okay, so I'm going to make a blanket statement. There are no victims. There's not.
Okay.
There's not. And I know people say, well, you try to say that about slavery and all this stuff. There are no victims.
Okay.
I'm hesitating because do I want to take this down a personal conversation? And I will. So I can say there are no victims. So when I was 20, I don't want to get sidetracked by the whole story behind it. I had a police officer handcuff me behind my back. I was going into a club with a friend who was on a guest list, and he got away, and I didn't know he went in until I turned around. He's walking through the door. The music was so loud he couldn't help me. And me, him, and his girlfriend were on a guest list. And by the time, you know, I was getting close to him, they put the little velvet ropes up and said they thought I was trying to sneak in, and I'm screaming this guy's name and he couldn't hear me. So I knew he would come back out. But while I was waiting, it turned, they were being argumentative and you can't be here. I'm like, he's coming back out. A moonlighting police officer really stepped to me, and where I was responsible was I chumped him. I punked him without saying a word, without even moving. And as Blair and Robert, as men, you know how to do that to another man without talking. If he wasn't a cop, I think it would have just ended and it was over. But I think I probably embarrassed him, and another guy, security guy, came behind me. I went to walk away, and instead of letting me just go, they just handcuffed me. The cop took me into a room behind the offices. And from like 2:15 in the morning until like 5:30, he beat me off and on. He crushed one of my kidneys. To this day, it doesn't function. And while he was stomping me, and I'm telling you, this man was way bigger than me, and he was stomping me. I'm handcuffed behind my back. He's screaming, "You're a karate man, and you were going to use it." And while he was stomping me, I had enlightenment came to me, because I knew that no matter what he did, he couldn't touch me.
And this man really wanted to touch me. He wanted to get to me. And it wasn't even my body. He was just using my body as a pathway to get to me. And I knew that he couldn't touch me, no matter what he did. And what was even worse than that is he promised that two of his buddies from the police were going to pick me up and they were going to finish me off and kill me. So now my brain is really like, you know, but I ended up 10 days in a hospital, concussion and all this stuff. Look, what I'm really getting at, Robert, I clearly was not a victim, and that man did nothing to me. Something happened, but I was not a victim, and I can tell you I chumped that guy. So I, you know, without using my hands or mouth, so people are not victims. So because I know I wasn't a victim in that situation, because I know that man couldn't touch me, my relationship with police officers are very healthy. I'm not triggered. I don't have hatred towards them. I don't have. I don't even carry any negative impact of any of that with me. So except when you deal with life and look for circumstances to prove you're a victim, you're eternally a victim, and you won't know how to ever get out of that. Except maybe say, I don't want to be a victim anymore. But if you can see that no one's a victim, and it's not about whether you contributed to it or not, it's really about getting that people can't do anything to you. And I know that's like an esoteric, far-reaching idea. Your power is in you. And once you let people change and alter who you are, you know, that gets back to what we're talking about. You know, if a married couple are together and they say things that make one another have hatred towards each other, and then they conceive out of that, that child is going to be a product of that. But if you learn how to talk things through and get that you're not a victim of your spouse or your boyfriend or your parents or anyone else, things happen in life. They just do. How you handle things says more about you than what happened to you.
Well, a lot of times when we look at when you make the statement that you're, you know, a victim, I understand where you're trying to come from. But like I tell people all the time, if you know that you're in a situation that is harmful to you, you're no longer a victim. You're a participant. Because when you know that something is being done to you, that's doing harm to you, and you keep dealing with it or you keep going back to it, you're not a victim anymore. You're a participant. You know what's going on. You know there's harm there. And what has happened, dysfunction has become normal to you a lot of times. Now, what you're saying, yes, you know, well, you have grown as a better man in your life, and that's how that goes. You have
I'm not saying that, Robert. I'm not saying that. I didn't say anything like that. I'm saying something happened, and while this guy was stomping me, in the middle of it, I'm not talking about after the fact, in the middle, I knew he could not touch me. I knew that. It's not an after effect. This is not. I'm not talking about what happened after. I knew while it was happening, in the middle of the chaos, I knew that I was fine. And I'm handcuffed behind my back in a room, and he turned out all the lights. And he beat me with a weapon. He stomped me. I'm saying there are zero victims. There are no special circumstances to make you a victim. Things happen. They really do.
What do you want me to do?
Someone needs to be on mute. That's way too much back. Hey, Robert, that's way too much background.
Okay,
yeah, that's too much background. We can hear people in your background. Can you be on mute? Hey, is that you, Robert, or Monica?
I've already told one. I won't follow you.
It's not me.
Hey. Hey, Robert.
I don't know if you ever fell in the deli with her.
Hey, Robert. Hey, Blair, put him on mute.
Okay.
Okay.
He is on mute.
Good.
All right. Go right ahead, sir.
No, that's it. It's difficult to navigate through life and negotiate once you take the position you're a victim. Because once you a victim is a very effective way to get a person to relinquish any responsibility. Like, I had nothing to do with it. You should have, if you would have been there, you would have seen. Like, things happen. They just do. Well, once you become victim, it's like, well, I can't do anything about it. And if you understood how horrible my life was, you know that I can't do anything. Hell, I mean, exactly 11 months after that incident with the police, both my parents died. I received a phone call, and now you have no parents. I mean, I technically have the right to be some insane dude who's a victim of life, and I can't make things work.
Right.
Because my life is so messed up.
Let me ask you this and everything, and that's, you know, I mean, that's a crazy story. I mean, but it's, you know, a story that most, I mean, brown and black people are, you know, especially men, are very familiar with. Any sort of, you know, police brutality or what have you. So damn near every black man that I've ever talked to has had that story, you know, where they either had a gun pulled on them or were beaten by police, or, you know, the police pulled them out their car through the window or something. So that's,
I would say, Blair, it's not even 50% of men have been through that. Like, there's just no way.
Okay.
I mean, there may be certain communities where the majority, but there are just too many outside of that. They may have had engagement with them, but to be beaten, I know enough guys who haven't been beaten or had guns pulled on them.
Right. Okay. So, and like I said, I mean, am I gonna put it out there that it's been all black men? Of course not. I've never been beaten by a policeman. I'll be the first to tell you that. I have had a gun pulled on me several times by police officers. So
right.
The threat, and for, you know, for nothing that I did. And I'm not going to go into all the stories and everything because it is what it is. But I say that to go back to your point in saying that there are no victims. My question to you, and I'm going to play kind of a devil's advocate, do you think that by kind of making such a, you know, kind of an exotic statement of saying there are no victims, people who have been robbed, people who have been murdered, you know, unnecessarily, people who have been raped, et cetera, does that apply to them, or are you using it pretty much in kind of a micro way of just for this conversation?
So you could say that guy completely violated my body. He beat me till he was tired. He stopped because he was exhausted. He crushed. I only have one functioning kidney. He crushed it. They couldn't even find it because it crushed and moved somewhere else. I'm not a victim, man.
Okay.
I'm not saying that's rape, but surely that's physical violence on your. This is my personal body. He's a black cop, by the way. This is my personal body.
Okay, so let me ask this: when you say that there are no victims, so you're saying there are no victims anywhere? Ever. There's no victims. No people who are raped, people who are molested, there are no victims.
Something definitely happened. That's why I said this is a really esoteric and we're probably going to get pulled off. But actually, it's healthy because people bring this to their sexuality and they make and conceive children with that. Or, I mean, you know, we mostly think about women carrying a child in the womb, we don't even factor in a man is carrying seeds in him 24/7 that are also affected by his diet and his attitude and his beliefs.
Okay.
I'm saying male or female, there are no victims, and the harder people try to prove that they are a victim, it's like the deeper they go down into the rabbit hole. The challenge is without the tools to get out of it. Now, I was 20 when that incident happened with the police. So, I can't prove to you that I actually had that conversation, and I can't even tell you how I got there. I mean, you could say I did some work before that, you know. I mean, I was 20. I started studying human behavior when I was 9 years old. So maybe that helped me, right? And I had never stopped studying it, even to this day. But in the middle of being stomped, I wasn't a victim, and this guy could not touch me. I'm under the assumption most people don't go through that in the middle of chaos.
Okay.
But that's what I was saying to Robert. This is not an after effect. It's just I got that insight while it was happening.
And I just wanted to give some, you know, some kind of texture to the conversation, because I don't want people to walk away who may have been victims with a scrunched up face like, oh wow, he's kind of downplaying what happened to me and my scenario. So whether it's a sexual, you know, assault of some sort or not, I just didn't want anyone to feel as though, you know, by saying that you were kind of poo-pooing in the way of, you know, things don't, you know, you just happen to be an unfortunate scenario, everything. So I get what you're saying.
Blair, that's why I shared with such openness about my situation. It's not, you know, that's not something I really talk about, and it's not something that you just poo-poo. I mean, I was handcuffed and beaten for over the course of a number of hours, and I ended up in the hospital for 10 days.
Wow.
So, and that damage was permanent. I still only have one functioning kidney. So I could live my life as a victim and hate police and be afraid of so many other things, or I could get that. My life belongs to me. I own it. And he never, ever touched my life because it's mine, not his.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Gotcha. Gotcha. Let me, I want to try to bring Robert back into the conversation. Hopefully, you know, we can get a little bit more of a quieter version of him.
Okay, Robert.
Okay. I don't know what he's doing over there. He's building houses or something over there, so. That's a lot of stuff going on and everything. So, well, we are coming kind of close
Monica,
to the.
Wait a second. Is Monica still on the phone? Monica?
She's still there. I don't know if she's has herself on mute or what. But.
Okay. Do we have another caller we can get?
Let me try to go to – we do have another couple callers. Let's try to go to area code 614. 614, you're live and on the air.
Your turf.
That is my city. 614. You better say something, 614. Don't do this to me.
You know this shy over there. Come on.
Don't talk bad about my city, man. A little stage fright.
Find a 212 or 6-1, some New Jersey or New York. Come on, they'll answer. They'll talk to it.
Right. Okay, 614, are you there?
They just want to listen. That's okay.
What's that?
They just want to listen. That's okay.
Right. Exactly. We're going to go to area code 661. 661, you're live and on the air.
Where is that? Oh, they're breaking up. Oh, wow.
661?
661, can you call 661, back?
661, we can hear you.
Up. We can. Yeah, okay. You're breaking up. Can you call right back?
All right, they're gone now. So, okay. So, like I said, we got about 10 minutes left in the show. We'll try to take another call here in a minute. And everything with everybody. Maybe they're just listening and couldn't get to the phone quick enough. So, with it being such a kind of a you know, kind of an interesting conversation. I'm sure you have some things that you want to say, Ted, to kind of sum up, you know, the whole topic. So what are your thoughts?
So, you know, people talk about give me solutions and let's build a community, let's build a nation. And if you listen to what we're saying, it's difficult to build anything with the state of current conversation. You know, you have Battle of the Sexes, men are dogs and women are gold diggers and people have been raped and molested, like all these things, you know, they've been shot, they've done drugs. And if you take all that and then try to build a community with it, all you're doing is pouring all those other things in that you don't want into the next generation. And then you wonder why your wealth building and your nation building isn't happening. So it's what we've been promoting on this conversation. I mean, this radio show is you have to create new conversations first. And as counterintuitive as some of them are, including the one we just finished sort of combing through, which is there are no victims. And, you know, for someone to get there, you may not get there just because I said it. When you give people tools, and maybe, Blair, this is motivation for people to want to do workshops. Perhaps it would be helpful if we could get feedback from others and understand what kind of workshops or would they be even interested around the country. But people have to work through this stuff so that these conversations are no longer being infused into the next generation, because just because you don't fully understand DNA doesn't mean that you're not affecting your DNA. You don't have to understand it. Just like you don't have to understand how your smartphone works, you still use it.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. It's, you know, I think these conversations, and let me just do a kind of a shameless plug for those of you who are not aware. We have a Facebook group called Straight Talk. We didn't mention it last week. We have a Facebook group called Straight Talk that we started that basically talks about a lot of the same kind of interesting conversations that we have today about stuff like this. And if you are interested, get in contact with Ted or myself, and we will get you into the group. But I will let you be aware that we do talk about some very provocative topics. So if it is not something, if that's the kind of stuff that is not your type of brandy, it's probably not the kind of group for you. That said, that'll be kind of a segue to my point, which is I think it's kind of hard to have these conversations, Ted, because you know, you have from these two opposing sides. I mean, you mentioned the gender wars, and you have men who think that they just know everything. They're like, you know, especially now that we have a platform, it's like we think we are the alpha and the omega as far as it relates to knowledge and intellect, right? And then on the, you know, so we're like, we can do no wrong. And then on the flip side, you have women. And whether or not women believe they're wrong or think that they're all right and they think that, you know, men are the dominant reason of why there's the problems and the issues that we have in, you know, in black society specifically. One of the things that anyone who's ever had a conversation with more than three women at one time will tell you, it's hard getting a message across to women. Even if you have the facts, even if you tell them you are dead wrong, it's hard getting messages across to black women. And I think that's where we always end up with kind of a stalemate in these conversations because, you know, it's like, okay, what would you believe? I mean, like now, you know, data and facts, they can be skewered and they can be whatever. It's like, okay, so what would you believe? So I think these are the kind of conversations that need to be had. And it's just one of those things that's just going to happen slowly where, you know, people are going to take a little bit by little bit. I mean, it's one of the things that keeps me going with what I do. I mean, does everyone listen to my message? No. But does everyone listen to Jesus's message? No. So as long as enough people hear what I have to say, as long as as long as enough people hear what I have to say and I move a few people, that's all that you can do. You know, I mean, they spat, kicked Jesus and everything else and hung it, you know. So as Mama always said, why would you think that they would, you know, listen to you 100%? They're not.
Right.
So, but I mean,
right.
there has to be a kind of there has to be some sort of stalemate, to use that word again, where people just got to come together and say, you know, there's got to be some changes made. Got to be.
Well, you know, what you just said about women will fight, they'd rather be right than actually learn something. So I put up, we started, there was a conversation in the Facebook group about women who squirt, and we're saying, well, you know, it's good, and women have pleasure. And another woman said, well, that's not squirting, it's just pee, it's urine. I said, no, it's not. So I found a video, which was like 2.5 minutes long, of a doctor who said they used to believe when a woman squirted it was urine, and they did put it under a microscope and did all this chemical analysis and found out that it wasn't. And still the women on Facebook was like, I don't care what that woman says, and I need to see the result, test results myself. They still invalidated it and wanted to be right no matter what. Now I'm going to add, if you bring that attitude into conceiving a child, that's not going to be the healthiest mindset for a child. So it's going to be hard to build a nation with people who, just because you were taught this, doesn't mean it's the accurate way. And I'd spoken last week about how a guy named Copernicus said, hey, the Earth is not the center of the universe, even though everyone believed it was. And it turned into big problems. And, you know, you mention Christ. People say they follow Christ. But when you ask, about his teaching and how much they follow, you get crickets. Or TV station years ago went around on the street and asked people, do you think you're going to heaven or hell? And everyone said, I'm going to heaven. So they said, well, how do you know? They said, well, I'm a good person. So they asked them, well, do you believe in the Bible? All of them said yes. They said, well, do you know what the Ten Commandments are? And they could only name like two or three. So it was like, well, how do you know you're not breaking the ones you don't know? Like, people would just rather be right about themselves. Like, we build this identity that protects us. And it's like people would rather be right and look good than actually learn or do what's in the best interest of everyone. So maybe people should stop having children and really do the work first.
Right.
Before you start
exactly.
talking about building anything powerful.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, we're about to close down the show for the evening. Any closing thoughts you want to have before we get out of here?
Well, I'm sorry Robert had so much. I hope he finished building the house, as you said, if that's what he was doing,
right,
because he had a lot going
man.
On. Sounded like he had a whole crew out there.
Yeah. Hopefully he can get back into the conversation next week.
Yep. So thanks to all the callers and all the listeners. Love when you call. We've been getting great feedback for these topics. If any of you have suggestions for things you'd like us to discuss, especially something for which you think the conversation needs to change or transform, we love taking on these provocative things because we're talking about real-life scenarios, situations, circumstances that affect adults, and we'd like to keep that thought-provoking, real-life situations going on so that we can, Blair and I, do our part in transforming communities. So thank you, everyone.
Absolutely. Yes, thank you all for all the callers and the listeners. We will be back next week with another very interesting topic. Thank you all, and we're at the mid part of the year. Any thoughts or comments or whatever you want to say to anyone, sort of motivational type thing, Ted?
You can leave donations for, isn't that how they do it on the nonprofit radio stations? We're having a fundraiser.
Actually, we should probably do that. Right, right.
This is semi-annual, right, fundraiser.
Right, right, right. So it's been an interesting 2019. My 2019 has been great so far. You know, it's been hot. I see what hell feels like because it feels like hell outside. But other than that, my year has been wonderful. So I hope everyone is doing well. I hope you're enjoying the shows that we put on and the content. Like I said, check us next Sunday. There will be another very provocative topic. Until then, have a great week, and we will talk to you then.
Great. Thanks a lot. Good evening, everyone. Bye.